Dear brothers and sisters, gathered with me today in the last light of the glorious season of Easter, and in the presence of the crackling flame of the Holy Spirit, I announce to you today a great mystery, that the Lord Jesus Christ is risen. That the Lord Jesus Christ is ascended and exalted at the right hand of the Father. And that the Lord Jesus Christ today pours out the gift of the Holy Spirit upon us. Don't mistake my meaning. I do not mean that today we celebrate that he poured out the Holy Spirit 2,000 years ago. I mean, quite literally, that today the ascended Lord Jesus Christ pours out the fire of the Holy Spirit upon us. The Lord who is currently in the tabernacle, the Lord who in a few minutes will stand forth upon the altar, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is currently risen. And dear brothers and sisters, I tell you as your pastor, I tell you with sublime truth, I tell you with pure faith that Jesus wants to pour his Spirit upon you, that Jesus wants to give you the gift of the third person of the Blessed Trinity, that Jesus wants to set us on fire, that this church should shake, that this town should rock, that we should be filled with every kind of holiness. Should we speak in tongues? Yes, we should speak in tongues. Should we faint? Yes, we should faint. Should we work miracles? Yes, we should work miracles. Because all of these things are paltry compared to the gift of God which we receive today. If only we're willing. If only we're willing. Take all your fears, take all your insecurities, take all your nervousness, take all your resistance and offer it into the fire of the Holy Spirit. Let him burn it away. Let him blaze it into nothingness so that your hearts might be open, so that your soul might be disposed, so that you might receive the greatest gift that we can possibly be given. The gift of God himself. The gift of God himself. This is not a metaphor. This is not hyperbole or exaggeration. This is, in the simplest form, our faith. Some years ago, I don't know if I ever shared this with you, some years ago, after I went to spiritual direction, was deeply moved and deeply broken. I was already ordained a priest, but I was going to spiritual direction at my seminary while I was studying in D.C. I went to my old seminary chapel, and I began to pray to the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit who had filled and converted me on December 27, 1998, and I begged for another conversion because I was lost. And there was a phrase that came to my mind, which is a startling phrase. It's an uncomfortable phrase. And it's a phrase I'm going to share with you. And I want you to be aware before I say it that it's weird. So just deal with it. And that phrase was, "We come naked to your feast. We come naked to your feast." That I had approached the Lord, God the Holy Spirit, and was weeping and crying because I had nothing to offer him. And he said, "I know." Stripped of every excuse, stripped of every sense of accomplishment, stripped of my own sense of worth, he was yet willing to fill me with every good thing. Dear brothers and sisters, you too come naked to his feast today. We have no help. There are no holiday movies about Pentecost. There are no decorations. There are no Pentecost parties that go around the workplace. All the help we have to prepare us for the joy of Christmas and the glory of Easter is missing today. And yet today is a feast that shakes the universe. And so if you feel ill-disposed, if you feel that you don't know why the church and your pastor is so passionate today, if you feel that you just can't connect, then pray that phrase, "We come naked to your feast." Lord, I walked into this church today thinking that it was just another Sunday, and not realizing that today was the day when you give us the Spirit. And of course, the Lord gives us the Spirit and the sacraments all the time, but today is a special today. Today is a day of the fullness of time. Today is a day prepared from all eternity. And when God gives us the Spirit, what does he give us? What does he give us? We hear it today in the gospel. Christ first says, "Peace be with you." And then he shows his hands and his side. And then he says, "Peace be with you." And he breathes on them the Holy Spirit. The Lord who won peace for us on the cross gives us peace in the Spirit. The Lord who poured out his blood for us on the cross pours out today the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit himself is peace. As St. Paul says, preserving the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. As Jesus says, "I will give to you the Holy Spirit, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." St. Paul tells us that peace is one of the fruits of the Spirit, but in a certain sense, dear brothers and sisters, peace himself is the Spirit. For the Spirit is love, and the Spirit is gift. And when we think about that peace, I need you to understand that as Christ says, "Not as the world gives, do I give peace." That the peace of the Spirit is not a house of cards. So often worldly peace is just something that happens, right? I happen to have a good weekend. The world happens to not be at war. My family happens to not be fighting. But we know that those happenstances are in danger, that they can change at any moment, that something bad can happen and it'll all topple down. This is not the peace of the Spirit. The peace of the Spirit is unconquerable. The peace of the Spirit is eternal. And that peace is given to the church. And the first way I want to talk about it is that that peace is harmony. We hear this today in the second reading, and there's so much power in the second reading today, and I wish that it could be burned into our hearts like a brand. First, to each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. To each individual, not the five people who volunteer all the time, not the one person who speaks in tongues, not the person you hear about in another parish that heals somebody. Every single person has been given a gift of the Holy Spirit for some benefit to the church. And they're all different. Some speak in tongues and some speak in compliments. Some heal miraculously and some care for the sick. Some speak in prophecy and some teach catechism. All of these come from the Spirit. As St. Lawrence of Brindisi says, I love this image, I think I quote it every year, on a homily on this feast, he says that the church is like a great pipe organ. And a pipe organ works because when you press the different keys and pedals, air blows through the pipes and it sounds the pipes the way that a person blowing on a flute would sound like a flute. And he says, the church is like a great pipe organ and the Spirit is the wind that blows through the pipes, and each individual in the church is given their own note. The organ is one, the wind is one, the church is one, the Spirit is one, and yet each of us is given a different gift. And how stupid it would be if an organist said, I really like the note A, and every other note on the keyboard is dumb, so I'm not going to play them. What kind of music could you produce? What kind of music could be made if we made the notes fight one against the other? If we said that some notes were better than others? Do we not understand the whole symphony of salvation is brought about because we each have our own note and we're all supposed to be in harmony? And I don't mean secular harmony. I don't mean this weird idea that we're supposed to all hold hands and sing kumbaya. I mean a harmony and a unity that comes from the third person of the Blessed Trinity, who is himself the bond of the Father and the Son. This is not some milquetoast tolerance. This is a spiritual gift that comes because our risen Lord is one and he unites us in his mystical body. It's a mystery, but it's a reality. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I ask that you pray today at this Mass for an outpouring of the Spirit in this parish, in this diocese, in the universal church, that we may be one. Because all division, all hatred, all attempts to get rid of one another, all attempts to silence one another, all strife is an enmity with the Spirit. His diversity is no excuse for division. And how the spirit of division plagues us today. It's the great enemy of the Spirit. And so we must fight it. And so I ask you to also look into your own hearts. Are there people that you don't talk to, that are members of your family, that are former friends, that you don't talk to because of their political affiliations or because something that happened in the past or because you think that they're dumb? They may be dumb. That's just their note, y'all. It's okay. They're dumb notes too, right? There's this reality, dear brothers and sisters, that we're called to be one. That love conquers all things, the love that comes from the Holy Spirit. And that's not the only kind of peace that he gives either. He doesn't just give peace between us, he gives peace within us. I learned this week that when the Lord says, peace be with you, I knew he said the Hebrew word shalom. Shalom. I didn't know what it meant. I thought it just meant peace. It doesn't just mean peace. It means wholeness, prosperity, health, flourishing, fulfillment. When God gives us the Holy Spirit, when Christ breathes on us the Holy Spirit, dear brothers and sisters, we have living water leaping up from within. We are made fruitful within. We blossom with gifts. We are brought into the sunshine of heaven. We are made at peace. And that peace is the gift of happiness. That peace is the gift of blessedness. That peace is the gift of joy, the joy that streams from the risen Jesus. That peace fulfills us. That peace is what we long for. That peace is what we were alienated from. And today that peace is given to us. Today that peace is ours. This is the gift of Pentecost. That everything that Jesus did, his birth, his death, his rising, his miracles, his teaching, all of that that happened out there in 2,000 years ago, all of it, every last bit of it, is not held behind a glass case anymore. It's poured inside of us. And you receive it every time you receive communion. In communion, we receive the holy body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ, but we also receive the Holy Spirit. I want you to think about this. I'm going to give you another weird image. Okay. If I covered myself in suntan lotion and then you gave me a hug, what would you be covered in? Suntan lotion. Jesus is the Christ. Christ means anointed one. He's anointed with the Spirit. Every part of him gleams with the Spirit. And so when we embrace him and receive him in Holy Communion, we're also getting daubed with the Spirit. And that will happen today, dear brothers and sisters. So if you long for peace, if you long for salvation, if you long to overcome sin, if you long to know what God is asking you to do, take this opportunity, because this is the moment of salvation. This is the day of grace. This is the time when, quite literally, the risen Lord offers the Spirit. And as you eat Jesus, you also taste the Spirit. This is the day of our peace. This is the celebration of our salvation. Dear brothers and sisters, we come naked to his feast. And the risen Lord looks upon us and says, "Peace be with you." God bless you all.